The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray.
O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully leading and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Reading from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. And I will raise up the shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually and into a dwelling place for God. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them and hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushing about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. The last verse of Mark's Gospel. It's making me crazy. There, I get a little kink in the wire, and then it makes that noise, and I don't know where the kink is, so I'm just going to stay here so we can get this recorded as well. So the last verse of today's Gospel gives me the shivers. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. It gives me the shivers to think of that powerful, powerful healing power that Jesus had. All were healed. It also gives me the shivers because I struggle to believe that. It's hard for me to preach and to teach this passage because it's hard for me to believe it. In the first century, when Jesus and the disciples were doing this powerful healing, there were other miracle workers, other healers who were traveling around the countryside. Some, just like in today's world, were reputable. Some, but not all. And in Jesus' day, like today, there were people who suffered from serious, life-threatening illnesses. And as Mark recounts these events, he doesn't specify what kinds of illness were healed in those crowds that were gathered around Jesus. In that day, there were no MRIs or CT scans. There were no blood tests or lab analysis to separate head trauma from a head cold or advanced stage cancer from indigestion. Even though Mark says it, all were healed, I'm wondering, was everybody healed? When I was a teenager, and I absolutely had to have that most trendy pair of shoes, or I absolutely had to go hang out at the mall, I used that famous line, but everybody has those shoes. Everybody's going to the mall. And my mom, sage and wise as she was, would come back with a question, is Judy going? Judy's mother was so strict. Is Janet going? Janet was the oldest of five siblings, and she never got to go anywhere without one or two or three in tow. So she would ask then, well, who exactly is everybody? And then I had to admit that not all, but only some, had those shoes or were going to the mall. Well, at least a few were going. So I wonder, all were healed? It's only a few verses before this, all were healed, that we hear that Jesus was in his hometown and he could hardly do any healing at all. At the beginning of this sixth chapter of Mark's Gospel, he writes, and Jesus could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and cured them. You go, wait, what? No deed of power? Jesus was in his hometown, that place where everyone knew his name, but there, he was just one of Mary's kids when he was in Nazareth. So when Jesus was this out-of-town expert, he could amaze the crowds and everyone was healed, but put him back among those who knew him, and he was about as helpful to a sick person as a snake oil merchant. Not long ago, I heard an NPR report about the near extinction of the rhinoceros. And at the San Diego Safari Park, we have a few of those rare white rhinoceros that still exist in the world. I think there's 13 of them in the world, and we have 4 of them at the safari park trying to keep them from extinction. One of the main reasons that for their demise is that some people believe that the powder that's made from the rhino's horn makes a magic potion. It will improve your sex life, soothe your sore throat, clean out those clogged arteries, give you a longer life. Now, of course, none of those claims are true. But millions of dollars exchange hands for that illegally gained rhino horn. These beautiful creatures are maimed and often killed because of human stupidity and greed. All were healed with rhino horn or some other hoax. It gives me the shivers. I shiver a little bit more when someone treats Jesus like rhino horn, saying, yay, for a miraculous healing from whatever ails them, and yet they ignore the fact that children continue to die from cancers and disease and more. Someone is healed and we shout, it's a miracle. But thousands are not healed. And it's what? The lack of a miracle? The lack of faith, the lack of belief in a certain magic potion. So am I a follower of that Jesus who did no deeds of power in his hometown? Am I a follower of that Jesus who had so many coming for healing that he wasn't even able to eat and all were healed? My mom, and I guess all of us who were praying for her, experienced a miracle. About 5 years before my mother died, she was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And the surgery revealed that it was indeed a cancer and that it could not be removed. And after one round of chemo, the tests revealed that there was no tumor. And there was only a little bit of scar tissue that remained where that tumor had been. The doctor said to my mother, I have no explanation for this. I've never seen this happen before. I don't know how this happened. And my mom said, well, I do. It's a miracle. She wasn't really much interested in how she came to be cancer-free. She was sure, though, that it was her faith and the faith of those who prayed for her, that faith that was well-placed in the Jesus who healed everyone. But still, I shiver. What about all those hometown folks that Jesus couldn't heal? What about all those people that we pray for today who continue to suffer and die? Does it have to be one or the other? Am I a follower of that Jesus who did no deeds of power in his hometown? Or am I a follower of that Jesus who had so many coming for healing that he wasn't even able to eat and all were healed? So here's my answer. I'm a follower of that Jesus who had compassion. He had compassion for everyone. Mark writes, Jesus had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I follow that Jesus who had compassion for all. Jesus had compassion for the sick who were healed and for the healed who continued to be sick, for those who believed and yet were not healed, and for those who didn't believe and yet were healed. I pray a lot, and I know you do too, for those who are sick, for those whose circumstances just break our hearts. We pray for our church family and for God's family around the world. We pray for all of us that we might seek God's guidance and follow that good shepherd, that good shepherd who has compassion for all. And we pray for all of us, those praying and those for whom we pray, that all of us grow in trust in our limited lives, that we can see that some are healed and some are not. But the best news of all is that all are loved. And Jesus had compassion for them, for all of them, for all of us. Amen.